Gospel according to St. Matthew.
Glory to you, O Lord.
Then Jesus came from Galilee to John at the Jordan to be baptized by him. John would have prevented him, saying, "I need to be baptized by you, and do you come to me?" But Jesus answered him, "Let it be so now, for it is proper for us in this way to fulfill all righteousness." Then John consented, and when Jesus had been baptized, just as he came up from the water, suddenly the heavens were opened to him, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, "This is my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." This is the Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
I invite you to be seated. So here we are, just a few chapters in to the Gospel according to Matthew. And already up to this point, we've heard a lot of answers to kind of the question, who is this Jesus of Nazareth? So we had a genealogy of Jesus at this point. We heard some about his birth and about his parents. We've heard that, like last week when we celebrated Epiphany in worship, we heard that these magi from a foreign land had gotten word that this is the king, the Messiah, and they came and paid him homage. And we know that he was a child, that there wasn't really room for him in the inn in Bethlehem. We know that King Herod is so frightened of who this Jesus is that he orders every Hebrew child age 2 and under to be killed. And Jesus and his family have to flee to Egypt. And they come back. And so we hear some about who this Jesus is. We've heard a lot. And in fact, he comes out of Egypt back into the promised land, almost like how Israel was led out of Egypt into the promised land in the Exodus story. We know that Jesus has a cousin named John the Baptist. And we hear in this text today, God declare that this is my beloved Son. We hear this claim of Jesus' identity. And what's interesting, so Jesus hangs out with John in all four of our Gospels. In three of them, we hear about the baptism. Interestingly enough, the Gospel according to John doesn't talk about the baptism. It's different Johns anyway, but it's just kind of ironic. And in Mark and Luke's account, the voice that comes down to Jesus, it's a second person voice. "You are my Son." And in the Gospel of Matthew here today, it's "This is my Son." Almost as if to make the proclamation more public, so that we hear who this Jesus of Nazareth is too. That this is God's Son, God's beloved child. This identity as God's beloved Son, as Emmanuel, God with us, as Messiah and Christ, as King. These identities will carry Jesus through his ministry and life. He rests in this identity of who he is. This Jesus is God's beloved Son. So when he gets cast out, sent out, dragged out by the Holy Spirit into the wilderness, and he's tempted and tested, Jesus knows that he is God's beloved Son. When Jesus continues his ministry and he goes and teaches and he meets strong opposition because these teachings are leading into more abundant life and love, and he gets this pushback, he knows that he's God's beloved Son. Friends, it's the same for us. I want to make the claim for us today that in baptism, we take on a new identity. Manuel Katangale, who's a Catholic priest who grew up during the genocide in Rwanda, he He talks about in baptism our identity is mixed up with Christ. It's confusing in the sense of the word confused means to be kind of integrated in, to be mixed up with. So that when people see us, they see us and they see Jesus. Our identity is mixed up with. We become part of the body of Christ in our baptism. And this baptismal identity is our core identity. It's who and whose we are. We are beloved children of God. The inflowing and indwelling of the Holy Spirit, the presence of God heard, felt, and seen, the ordinary becoming sacred, the normal things filled with the most extraordinary and holy things. This is the declaration of baptism, that we are part of God, of God's church. That we are baptized into Christ and our identity is mixed up, therefore, with Jesus. That's why when Peter says, I truly come to understand that God shows no partiality. It's after this vision where he's seen all these things, these animals, these unclean, according to kosher food, Jewish food laws, animals. And he's told to get up and kill and eat them. And he says, no. And the voice of God says, what are you doing calling something unclean that I've called clean? Calling something profane that I've called holy? In baptism, God reaches into the ordinary things of life to you and me and calls us holy because God pours out God's Holy Spirit upon us. God accepts us as we are and lets us know that we belong. This is the whole story of Scripture, God's story, the story that we are adopted into when we are water washed and spirit born, that when all the chips fall down, when they come down, when everything else falls away or falls apart, when we go through transitions from being defined as something and we're trying to figure out what the next piece is, whether that's these other things that we're defined by, like being a parent, a child, a student, an accountant, a teacher, a grandparent, a sales associate, a spouse, single, being a Democrat, a Republican, a soccer player, a hunter, a fisher, a citizen, an American, all these other identities, when they fall apart, when we go through transitions, what holds us together through it all and what starts us on our path of exactly who we are is our identity in baptism. As a beloved child of God. For friends, we are indeed born again. And we need daily reminders of that new birth as children of God. That's why Lily knows how to make the sign of the cross on her forehead, because we do it every night. Because we have to remember that we are beloved children of God, that is who we are. What we are underneath everything else, primary to, before it all, the thing that cannot be stamped out is the seal of the cross and the Holy Spirit that is marked on us in baptism. There's no other water that could wash it away. It's given to us simply by God's mercy, not because we've done anything to earn it. And we cannot do anything to lose it. And it helps us answer that question, who am I and whose am I? Who are we together? And this year at Spirit in the Hills, if you saw my January newsletter article, we're going to be recentering ourselves in our identity as church. We're going to be recentering ourselves in our identity as church. Oh, you're taking away all my notes. In our conversations that we have, both in small groups and in large groups, about what our core values are. About what our what it really means to be a community of people gathered together by the Holy Spirit to hear the Word of God proclaimed and to have the sacraments administered. What it means to live out this baptismal identity. We'll be hearing and discerning how we're called to live out this identity this year in this place under these circumstances in which we find ourselves in the year 2020. It's Spirit in the Hills on the south shores of Lake Travis. What is God calling us to be and do in response to our belovedness? The Spirit will inspire and move us this year, right? It will literally move us. That's what was the name of our capital campaign when we were looking for a property. We will be moved, like it or not, to a new gathering space, but we will be moved to greater and deeper compassion for our neighbors, a deeper understanding of what it means to be a beloved child of God and to be to live out that baptismal call and identity. And the Spirit will be what carries us through the wilderness, this identity as beloved and baptized children of the Almighty. And that same God is a God who chooses to dwell with us in the person of Jesus, Emmanuel, and also in the same ways that God dwells with God's people in the wilderness while they are wandering between Egypt and the promised land. That Spirit of God rests with us. And this year we will be drawn deeper into our work of sharing God's love in the world, making this proclamation of belovedness, that we are called to love and follow the one whom God declares beloved. That this one, Jesus, who we follow, will call us light and salt and will name us beloved too. This is what we share with others when we are assured and centered in our belovedness, that God loves us and accepts us and that we belong. We show and tell others just how beloved they are. We tell the ones who are already sure they're beloved, who like think they've got it figured out because they need reminders too. And in fact, sometimes they don't even know they need to be reminded. That can be me some of the time. And we tell the ones who think there's no way they could ever be loved that they are beloved. Friends, sometimes that's me too. We go out and share this good news that we are beloved and baptized children of God, because these waters filled with the Holy Spirit, they are where our life begins. They're where our life begins and where we are refreshed and refilled. The waters of baptism are where it all starts. Baptism is about our identity, about belonging to God, to being a part of the body of Christ, belonging to God's church, having a place and a voice. And baptism is about mission. These waters transform us into that body of Christ, given and broken for the sake of the world, that all may experience the kingdom of God that is already here and is still to come. And we leave from these waters transformed to live among God's faithful people, to share in the Lord's Supper and hear the word of God preached, to share the good news of God in Christ through word and deed, to serve all people following the example of Jesus, and to strive for justice and peace in all the earth. So we ask these questions. What are we called to be and to do? We remember our baptism. Those baptismal promises, and most of all, the promise of the Holy Spirit sealed upon and within us. And so this day and this month and this year, we will be centered and recentered in Christ through these waters of baptism and through the same presence of God's Holy Spirit that has been with us since our lives began in that font, since we were set free to be who we are, beloved children of God. That presence of God's Holy Spirit, it will inspire us and fill us with breath and energy. It will set our hearts on fire to share God's love in a world where love can seem so hard to come by. To be peacemakers in a world that wants to be at war with itself and with others. God's Holy Spirit will set our hearts on fire to be the beloved people we are and to help others come to know that they are so loved by the Creator and Sustainer of all life. In a world where so many of us can quickly forget that we are beloved children of God, we will be reminded again and again in water and word and bread and wine by the voices and the love of one another that you are beloved. You are a child of God, that you have a place among us in this congregation, in this world, among God's church. You've been washed by water and the Holy Spirit and received new, abundant, and everlasting life. On days when everything seems dry, you know, when the wind blows like crazy and the cedar's all in the air and you can't even breathe, the waters of baptism sustain us. On days that feel dry emotionally or spiritually or mentally or physically, the waters of baptism and God's Holy Spirit fill us up and wash us again to live life as a beloved child of God, because that is our name. Because our identity is mixed up with Christ and it's confused, and so then it's confusing to the world. When we live out God's gospel mission, they see Jesus at work, right? The words when we're handed a baptismal candle in baptism, let your light so shine before others that they see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven. That it's confusing. People don't know if it's us at work or God at work. Because we're part of that same mission and ministry, the life and work of Jesus. And we are renewed day by day, as Paul says, though our flesh may be weakened and we feel like we're wasting away, we are renewed day by God's Holy Spirit in this ministry of sharing God's love.